It's lovely to be here, and I think, in the series of Walking with Christ, and looking tonight at Peter's denial of Jesus. So Matthew 26 and verses 31 to 35 and 69 to 75. Let me read it to you. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. In verse 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you are talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. One of the things I don't often reveal is that I went to boarding school, and I can still recall my first day. As we drove up to the school, there's that sense of excitement, but also there was the moment of dread was also looming, the moment when my parents would leave me. And I can still vividly remember it, walking in, dropping off my trunk, and my parents being told it would be good if they left now. Walking them back out to the car, saying goodbye, trying not to cry, and then back inside to unpack my trunk. The sense of loneliness was overwhelming. Total sense of being disowned, as it were. Suddenly there I was, all on my own, with 11 other guys I didn't know, and crying myself to sleep that first night. Multiply that experience by 1,000 times and you begin to sense how Jesus must have felt in the last few hours of his life, as he was utterly forsaken by his friends and by his heavenly Father. And Matthew, in his account of the last few hours, stresses Jesus' loneliness, that he was all alone as he went to the cross. And so we see how the crowds who once followed and cheered him would soon reject him. We see how one of his closest friends would betray him with a kiss. And in this section we're looking at tonight, we see how his own disciples disown him, and how Peter in particular completely denies even knowing him. And so hopefully as we look at how Peter disowns Jesus, we'll see too how we disown Christ. And by seeing how we do, it will hopefully help us not to. Help us not to deny him and to disown him. And the first thing to note in this account is firstly that Peter and the disciples' denial is foretold by Jesus. Peter and the disciples' denial is foretold by Jesus. I've got even OHP tonight, which means quite organised to me, but hey. So here we go, denial is foretold by Jesus. Nothing catches Jesus by surprise, not even the fact that his own disciples would disown him. Here he is in those last few hours and he is fully in control. He foretells what is about to happen, knowing that his disciples would disown him, just as the Old Testament prophecies had predicted. So look at verse 31. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Here's Jesus quoting from Zechariah 13 verse 7, and he shows that the striking of the shepherd will bring trouble for the sheep. The disciples will be in no great physical danger. Their fleeing will deliver them from whatever danger there might be. But Jesus himself will be struck, and the effect of that will be the scattering of his little band. They will all fall away on account of him, scattering because he has been arrested. And Jesus even goes on to foretell how Peter would deny him three times. Jesus knows it all. Even in those last few hours, he's still fully in control. You know, the same is true for us, that he knows that when we too will disown him, our denial never catches him by surprise. But note verse 32 and the grace that is found in those words. That even knowing that the disciples would desert him, disowning him at the point of his greatest need, Jesus still looks forward to the time when he will meet up with them again in Galilee. What a great assurance for those disciples that even though they will scatter, they all will come back. That even though they will disown him, he will never disown them. Now that's grace, isn't it? And that's a great thing to keep in mind as we look at Peter and as we look at our own disowning of Jesus. That even before we do it, he knows, and yet he does not and will not disown us. Well, the second thing to note is that Peter's denial begins not in the courtyard, but in his very next words. See, for secondly, Peter denies Jesus' words. For Peter, hearing Jesus, immediately replies, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Peter, so fiercely loyal, stands immediately behind his master. "There's no way that I could ever disown you, Jesus. Even if all the others do, I never will." And yet Jesus answers verse 34. "I tell you the truth, i.e. Peter, listen up. This very night, not in a few days or weeks or months ahead, no, this very night, in a few hours' time, before the cock crows and the sun rises, you will have disowned me not once, but three times." And still, verse 35, Peter denies Jesus' words. So Peter declares, not knowing the situation Jesus was speaking of, he thinks of the worst possible scenario. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you, Jesus." And all the other disciples said the same. And I doubt these were empty words from these disciples. I'm sure Peter meant it. He loved Jesus. He was his friend and his master. But all of Peter's protesting, although sincere, will be for nothing. See, for by Peter's denying Jesus' words in verse 35, he denies the very situation he will face. And as such, he will fail. And the reason why is found in verse 41. Look at verse 41 with me. "For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." The immediate context of those words is that for that situation of keeping awake to support Jesus in prayer for that physical and spiritual battle ahead. But these words point to later on that evening. You see, Peter's confident words back in verse 35 show his spirit is willing. The problem is that his body is weak. It's just what Paul argues in Romans 7. He wants to do something, but he finds that he can't because of the flesh, the body. And because Peter's body is weak, he will therefore be unable to stand by Jesus unless he is dependent on God, praying for help that he would not disown Christ, and so following his master's example. See, in those verses, Jesus recognizes his physical and spiritual battle ahead and prays for strength. But Peter sleeps. You see, because he's denied Jesus' words, he does not believe that he'll ever disown Jesus. He also denies the situation and the danger that faces, and thus the urgency to pray rather than sleep. And because of that, he ends up disowning Jesus. His spirit was willing, but his body was weak. Had he accepted Jesus' words, recognizing his body to be weak, recognizing that what Jesus had said was true, then I take it he would have been deep in prayer in order that he might not deny Jesus. And the question is we too think like Peter, just because our spirit is willing, we'll be able to stand firm, we will be able to never disown Christ. Well, then we too, like Peter, will not only deny Jesus' words, we do not understand the battle that we're in. And as such, we'll also deny our need of help from God to not disown Christ. And thus we will end up disowning him. Our spirits may well be willing, and hopefully they are, not to disown or deny Jesus. But our bodies are weak. It's what the Apostle Paul recognized, and unless we recognize that, well, then we'll never throw ourselves onto God and pray for his help to stand firm and to not deny and disown Jesus. For look what happened to Peter. So confident he would not deny Jesus that he failed to heed Jesus' warning and ends up with the rest of the disciples deserting Jesus. Look at verse 56, As they come to arrest him, 56. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. But worse than that, not only would Peter desert him, but he will go on to even deny being with Jesus. So thirdly then, Peter denies even being with Jesus. Peter denies even being with Jesus. In verse 56, we're told that all the disciples have fled, but Matthew records for us in verse 58 that Peter followed. There he is, still loyal to his master, still loving Jesus, still wanting to be near him. He follows Jesus into the courtyard where he sat with the guards to see the outcome. And as he sat, Peter is asked a question. And the challenger, well, the challenger and the challenger is as gentle as could be imagined. It was not a challenge from a man, but a woman. And not a mature woman, but a girl. Not a free girl, but a slave girl who challenged him. Someone with no authority, no legal standing. And she didn't make any accusation that he was a rebel or that he had blasphemed like they'd accused Jesus. No, she simply asks if he has been with Jesus. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. And immediately, Peter denies it, verse 70. He denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about. The very one who had said just a few hours before, if all fall away on account of you, I never will, was now denying even being with Jesus. And if you think about it, there was no real reason for Peter to deny being with Jesus. I mean, the servant girl hadn't asked if he was a friend of Jesus or whether he was a disciple of Jesus. She had simply stated that he had been with Jesus. And there was no crime in that. There was no reason for Peter to believe he could be arrested or killed. For when the religious leaders had come to arrest Jesus, they didn't look to take his followers. Even after Peter, as John Gospels recalls, sliced off the high priest's ear with his sword, there is no indication that they were ever going to arrest the disciples. If they were, surely they would have done it there and then. But no, all they wanted was Jesus. And so Peter in that courtyard to that servant girl could have easier said, yes, I was with him. But instead he pretends he hasn't understood, and the first of his three denials is fulfilled. I guess if people asked us directly, we would always declare to be with Jesus, to be his, to be a Christian. After all, we live in a fairly tolerant society where people are not that bothered whether you are a Christian or not. So it's unlikely that we'll deny being with Jesus in such a blatant way. But often our denial of being with Jesus, of being a Christian, is very subtle, isn't it? It's not so much by what we say, like Peter did, but more by what we don't say or do. So, for example, if people asked if we are Christians, well, we would say we are. But we would never volunteer the information freely. We'd never look for opportunities to profess our allegiance to Christ, avoiding, if we can, discussing being with him, as it were, never being the ones to bring it up. Now, our denial of Jesus is far more subtle. I mean, even coming up with excuses to appease our consciences. Well, I don't like to ram it down their throats. Only if they ask do I like to tell them, but they never ask, so they don't know. And yet Jesus makes it very clear that we are to be those who witness of him, telling others. And yet so often, those who we work with, or live next door to, or speak to every day at the school gate, don't have a clue that we are Christians. Oh, we don't mind saying it if they ask, but we don't readily profess it. I wonder, does everyone who you come into contact with know that you are Jesus, that you belong to him? It struck me after my first 6 months of working after uni that everyone knew me at work. Everyone knew at work that I followed Arsenal Football Club. Not everyone knew that I followed Jesus. And in that way, I denied being with him. Not blatantly, not openly, but very subtly denied being his. Maybe because I was afraid, maybe because I was embarrassed. But how do you deny being with Jesus? And how can you rectify that this week? But for Peter, it didn't stop there with denying just being with Jesus. But fourthly, Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Look at verse 71. After his first outburst, he leaves the courtyard to stand in the gateway, where again he is approached. And where again, a girl states to all who were listening, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. But now, instead of pretending not to understand, Peter declares under oath, verse 72, I don't know this man. I mean, not only does he deny being with Jesus, he now denies even knowing him. And when the crowd push him a little harder in verse 73, surely you're one of them, your accent gives you away. Peter begins to call down curses on himself and he swears to them, I don't know this man. Vehemently trying to persuade the crowd that he never knew Jesus. All that he had seen of Jesus, all that he had come to understand, he now denied. I mean, Peter had understood and even confessed that Jesus was the Christ. Peter had witnessed Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. He had heard God himself declare Jesus as his son. He had witnessed the miracles. He had heard Jesus' teaching. He had seen how the streets were lined with people praising Jesus as king as he arrived in Jerusalem. And now, Peter was denying even knowing Jesus. Denying that Jesus was the Christ. Denying that Jesus was the king. But worst of all, denying his relationship with him, disowning Christ. No wonder, is it, when that cock crowed and Peter remembered Jesus' words, that he ran out and wept bitterly. He had denied even having a relationship, as it were, to know Jesus. I guess, again, in our culture, we wouldn't be so blatant in denying to know Jesus. Possibly if we feared for our lives, we might utter similar words to Peter, that I don't know the man. And times are changing fast, where that may well be the situation in this country in a few years' time, where to declare to know Jesus will have serious consequences. But for now, we're free to declare to know him. And so how do we deny even knowing Jesus like Peter did? Well, again, often it's not verbally, but by our actions. You see, if we know Jesus, then it therefore means that he is our King, our Master. That is what it is to be in a relationship with Jesus, isn't it? To know Jesus is to know him as your King. And thus, if we know Jesus, it will therefore be obvious by how I live, my life reflecting my relationship with him. And so every time that I do not live in a way that pleases him, when I choose to live as the world would have me, I deny his kingship over me. And I deny knowing him. Just like Peter did in that courtyard. I mean, I wonder, would it be so evident by how we live that we know Jesus? So in our relationships with our husbands or wives, is it evident that we know Jesus? With how we are at work, our attitude, the way we treat our colleagues, is it evident that we know Jesus? At the school gate, talking to other parents, is it evident that we know Jesus? How we relate to our children, is it evident that we know Jesus? Or by our actions, do we deny knowing him? If we were to hear the cock crow now, would we, like Peter, run and weep bitterly? Peter's tears weren't tears of self-pity, but tears of remorse and repentance. And the grace that we saw in verse 32 is now so evident in Peter's life. For as he repents, he comes back to Jesus. And there he is, leading the other apostles day later, as they run to the tomb to see the risen Lord. And Peter, as we'll see in a few weeks' time, is reinstated by Jesus, forgiven and brought back. What a wonderful picture. That before he even done it, Jesus knew it and had already foreseen that time when he would come back to him. And Peter knew that grace. He knew what it was to let Jesus down, but also to be able to come back and be forgiven and be reinstated. And maybe tonight you need to repent of disowning Jesus, of denying him. Maybe by denying his words. Maybe denying being his or denying knowing him. He knows. He knew it before you even did it. And he waits, as he did with the disciples, for you to come back to him and revel in the grace of God. Oh, we can be confident that even though we may disown him, he will never disown us.